All right, that's good. That's good. Who's down with OPC? I told Terry I'm very offended. Very offended she didn't ask me to do that skit. I think I could have done it just as good as Camellia. I'm just going to say. You guys don't know, but back in the day, like... No, that's not true at all. I'm not even going to pretend. All right, so... I had a couple people ask me last night if I was going to have a stupid, corny joke to open with, and I was like, of course, because you have to. So here goes. So a preacher one time is preaching to his congregation, about 200 or 300 people, and he's preaching about forgiveness. And he's getting on them pretty hot and heavy, and he stops kind of midway through, and he asks for a show of hands. He says, I want to know how many people in here are willing to forgive all their enemies. And I don't know, maybe like 30% of the people raise their hands. So he's a little discouraged by that, so he keeps going. And, you know, he goes at it for another 10 or 15 minutes, asks the same question again. This time about 60% or so raise their hands. So he wants 100%, right? So he keeps going for a little while longer, asks the question one more time. Everybody in the whole congregation raises their hand, says, I'm willing to forgive my enemies, except one person, one little old lady sitting back in the back of the room. So he calls her out and he says, why aren't you willing to forgive your enemies? And she says, I don't have any enemies. And he says, I find that hard to believe. And he calls her down to the front of the church and he says, what's your name? And she says, Gladys. And he says, Gladys, he says, how old are you? She says, I'm 93 years old. And he says, how is it? Explain to this congregation how it is that you don't have any enemies. And she says, oh, it's easy. I outlived all those jerks. William liked that. He's maybe the only one. The rest of you are fake laughing. I think William's laugh was genuine. So, all right, so let's get started with the regular stuff. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 9, verse 23. We're going to start there, and I'm going to try to be quick this morning. We've got a lot of things going on today, but I'm going to give you something today that the next three mornings, these are all going to tie together, hopefully. That's the plan, at least, and I want to lay out a plan for you to be able to become spiritually CrossFit. You know, my purpose is to be very practical with you, is to give you some things. You know, you guys are all in school. You're getting ready to go back to school in just a couple of weeks. And, yeah, I know. Yeah, you have to. But you got a job to do when you go back to school. There's something that God wants you to do, and we want you to be equipped. We want you to understand, you know, what does it mean to be CrossFit? What does it mean to be able to just live every day as a Christian the way that God wants you to? And Bob gave us a great intro last night to our whole week, preached a great message, and talked a little bit about the theme of being CrossFit. And, you know, he said exactly right that, you know, when the world hears the term CrossFit, they're talking about a physical workout program, trying to get ourselves, you know, physically fit and in shape. And while that's fine and good and that can be fun, I don't know why I said that. It's not fun. I don't know why I said that. But that's all well and good, but that's not the reason why we're here today. The reason we're here today is because we want to get you CrossFit in the sense of fit to carry the cross of Christ. And Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says this. It says, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And guys, that's the goal. That's the goal today. That's the goal tomorrow, the next day, and for the entire week. All of your counselors that are here, that the goal for you by the end of the week is that you're going to be able to do just that, that you're going to be able to take up the cross of Christ on a daily basis and follow Him, and that you're going to have the tools to be able to do that, the courage to do that, and the ability and the willingness to do that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll ask for His blessing on our preaching this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You, and we thank You for the Lord Jesus. We thank You for what a great time we've had so far. Yesterday flew by, and we had so much fun, and we pray that as we get into Your Word now, Lord, please let Your Holy Spirit just come down in this room. Give me the right words to say. Allow me to speak freely. Say the things that You want me to say today, Lord, and let it land on the hearts of everybody that's in here. Let each and every one of us take these things and look into our hearts and our lives and analyze ourselves, examine ourselves, and see, you know, where we are with You, Lord, and where maybe we need to make some changes for You. And we love You. We'll give You the honor and glory for it. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, like I said, our goal is we want you to be fit spiritually after this week. Not necessarily physically, although you're going to get plenty of physical activity and you're going to get plenty of exercise. But when you think about the term fit, when we talk about being fit to carry the cross, You know, that can have basically two meanings. In one sense, it can mean, are you worthy to carry it? Are you fit to carry the cross of Christ? Are you worthy? Do you carry yourself? Do you live your life in such a way that you're worried that you're actually worthy to bear that cross for Him? The second way you can look at it is are you physically, or you know, I should say spiritually able to carry that cross? You know, being fit to do something means that you're actually able to do it. And both of those aspects are very important when we talk about this subject. And so my plan over the next 3 days, starting with this morning, is I want to do just that. I want to give you the tools that I think that you will need to become cross-fit, to become fit to carry that cross for Christ, if, of course, you're willing to do the work that's involved to make that happen. All right? So today, we're going to start with step one. And the first step in this program is going to be preparation. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about preparation. You know, a big problem that people have when it comes to exercise programs is that they fail to prepare properly for those. They don't think it all the way through. They don't make all the plans that they really need to make before they get into a program to try to get themselves fit and to try to get themselves into shape. And they end up failing because of it, because they're just really not ready to do what they need to do. And spiritually speaking, when we talk about becoming spiritually CrossFit, it's no different. Preparation is absolutely where you have to start. You have to begin by preparing some things in your life to be able to go through this process. So we're going to talk about a few steps that I think are important when it comes to preparing to be CrossFit. Step one, when you're going to do a workout program, is you got to talk about nutrition. Right? Maddie, I'm going to reference Maddie a lot this week because she runs cross country and her coach is funny. He sends about 7,000 emails every week to all the athletes and all the parents and about everything in the world that you would ever want to know about running and about being in shape and about doing this workout and that and about drinking enough water and getting enough sleep and all these different things. So I hear about that quite a bit. And this truly is the place that you have to start. If you're going to do any kind of a workout program, you got to have nutrition right. How many of you actually work out a little bit in here? All the guys are going to raise their hands. They're like, yeah, I do. And most of you are lying, but some of you are probably telling the truth. But you guys know this. If you don't have proper nutrition, if you're not eating right, if you're not drinking right, you're not going to get everything out of your workout that you want to get. You're not going to get everything accomplished that you need to. And spiritually, for our CrossFit program, this nutrition is the Word of God, okay? The Bible, in many places in the Bible, the Word of God is compared to different kinds of food, and it's also compared to water. And both of these things are vitally important in any kind of a workout program. And if you're going to begin to become CrossFit for Christ, it starts with nutrition. It starts with getting the right amount, the proper amount of the Word of God in your life on a daily basis. If you go back into the book of Exodus, when Israel was wandering in the wilderness, God sustained them by bringing supernatural manna out of heaven, and it dropped out down, and they found it on the ground every morning when they woke up. And that thing just appeared out of nowhere because God provided it to them. And that's a picture of the Word of God. And at the same time, at one point, they didn't have any water. He had Moses take his staff, and he goes over to a rock, and he strikes the rock with his staff, and water comes out of it. Because God knew that was what they needed to be sustained during that time in their lives. That's what they needed to be able to thrive and do what God wanted them to do, was that manna from heaven, that Word of God. But the interesting thing about it is, it was up to them to pick up the amount that they wanted every day, the amount that they were going to eat. That God put enough down that everybody could have everything that they wanted and then some. But the Bible says that some gathered more and some gathered less. So there were probably some of them that they went a little bit hungry at night because they didn't gather enough. And we have the same choice in front of us every day. God puts this book out in front of us every day. Think about this week. You're getting preaching in the morning. You're getting it at night. You're getting devotions from your counselors at night. And throughout the day, some of you are working on these homework assignments. Some of you guys that didn't even sign up to do it are helping the kids that did. So you guys are getting Bible all day long. But it's up to you to decide if you're going to do anything with it. It's up to you to decide how much of it you're actually going to pick up and put in your mouth and ingest and give yourself the right nutrition. It's up to you to decide how much water you're going to drink every day out of that Word of God. But I promise you, just like in a physical exercise program, if you don't eat right and if you don't drink enough water, you will not accomplish everything that you want to accomplish. Your body will not be able to do what you're going to try to push it to do and what you need it to do. And spiritually, it's exactly the same. If you don't get enough of this Bible in yourself every single day, if you don't get enough of this in your mind every day, you will not be able to be everything God wants you to be. You will not be able to get everything done that God wants you to get done. Now, let's talk about water for a second. Okay, every morning, when you wake up in the morning, what's the very first thing that you do? What? Josh, thank you. What? He's right, yeah, you pee. If you don't want to admit it, everybody does. You wake up in the morning and you got to go to the bathroom. And but then what do you do after that? What are all your parents do, I should say? Yes, why do they drink coffee? Because I'm tired. And I told all the guys back in the counselor's room, or the helper's room, I was like, don't be offended by my message today, because I'm just saying. But we have like 6 pots of coffee back there, okay? When you guys walk by and you're heading down to breakfast, if it smells like a Starbucks, it's because there's coffee everywhere. People have it in their rooms. They have it out in the main room. There's a hidden room back in the back. There's another one back there. It's just coffee everywhere. Coffee, coffee, coffee. And, you know, the thing is, the reason you're tired in the morning is because you're dehydrated. So the number one thing that you need when you wake up in the morning is a giant glass of water. You get up and you drink a big old glass of water, you will feel better and you will start to wake up, all right? Now, I partly say that because I haven't fully grown up yet and I don't really like to drink coffee, okay? I think it tastes gross unless you pour a bunch of milk and chocolate sauce in it, right? Thank you. So, but it's an illustration, okay? Now, I'm not mad at people that drink coffee. I don't care. Drink your coffee. But, because it doesn't matter. But spiritually, that's what we do. We do the same thing. Spiritually, we wake up in the morning, the first thing we need is a big old glass of water. We need principles out of this Bible. We need sustenance. We need nutrition from the Word of God. But instead, we get on our phones and we're looking at Instagram and we're looking at Twitter and we want to see what Taylor Swift did last night since we went to sleep. Maybe she posted a new selfie we want to look at, you know? Maybe, I don't. I'm not up on pop culture. I don't know who all the new groups are. Is Taylor Swift still popular? No, I don't like her at all. I don't allow Taylor Swift music to be played in my car. The girls know it. Even when their friends are in their car, I'm like, turn that stuff off. I can't stand it. But that's what we do. We don't get up and get into the Bible. We don't get up and get that number one thing we need. We get our coffee that's called Instagram. We get in there. We want to see if all of our favorite little people have posted any videos. Our friends from school. What did they put in there this morning? We want to get caught up. And what we really need is that big old 32-ounce glass of water to get ourselves going. And that's mistake number one. What your body wants spiritually is this Bible, is the Word of God. Not all that other crap that we put in there. Not all that stuff, not that garbage, not Fortnite, not all the video games and everything else. And look, you can do that. You can do that stuff, okay? You can drink a cup of coffee here and there. You can drink a Monster Energy drink. But if you wake up in the morning, John Busquette, and drink 4 Monster Energy drinks, you know, that's not good for your body. Your body doesn't like that, all right? Your brain might tell you that it feels good because all the sugar and everything that's in there, but your body is like, oh, gosh, what is he doing to me? Don't do that to yourself spiritually. You got to get up in the morning and you got to get the nutrients that you need. You got to get that water of the Word of God. All right? Now, so once we get our nutrition figured out and we understand how important that is, what's the second thing you got to do to prepare for this process? Well, you're getting a little too... No. But thank you, though. That's all right. You do have to get dressed, but we're going in a broader sense. You got to pick a gym, right? You're going to start a workout program, you better find the right gym. You better find the right gym. You want to get in shape, you got to go find a place that has all the equipment that you need, okay? Imagine this, you're going to start a workout program, you're ready to get going. It's New Year's and you're 20 pounds overweight, not talking about any in particular, and you're going to get in shape. So you're going to go out and you're going to check out a gym, and you walk in the door and all you see in that place are couches and recliners and TVs. And all the employees are like 400 pounds, and they're sitting in the recliners, and they're eating cheese puffs that are like dipped in chocolate sauce, right? Oh, come on, don't act like you've never done that. I'm just kidding, I've never done that, that's gross. But I bet there's people that do. And the point is, if you go to a gym and the people that work there are doing that, are you going to join that gym? You want to go work at that? Raymond. You ain't going to work. You're not going to go work out at that gym. Okay? If they don't have any workout equipment in there, it's not going to do you any good. You're not going to get anything done. So what is that? What is that gym for us? That gym for us with this program, it's a church you go to. It's a church you go to. And this is going to sound self-serving. I'm not doing this to put a plug in for Old Paths Baptist Church, but I'm going to make sure you understand how important it is to make sure that you are going to a church that's going to supply the needs that you have. If you're going to become CrossFit, you got to get on some exercise equipment, and there's some things that you got to do to be able to get yourself into shape, and you got to make sure that you find a gym that's going to do that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, you don't need to turn there, but it tells us three things that are the main three functions of a church that any church should do for its people. Number one, it says it's for the perfecting of the saints. Number two, it's for the work of the ministry. And number three is for the edifying of the body of Christ. All right? So you've got to ask yourself, is the church that I'm going to right now, the church that I go to every day, does it do those three things? Because if it doesn't do those three things, then I need to think long and hard about finding a church that does. It's like going to a gym that doesn't have any free weights or any machines and thinking I'm going to go there and get in shape. It's just not going to happen. So let's talk about perfecting. Your church should have a pastor that knows the Word of God. And not only that knows the Word of God, but he knows how to preach the Word of God, he knows how to teach it, and he's willing to preach it the way that it should be preached. Okay? That's a problem that exists today in today's day and age and in the vast majority of our churches is we got a bunch of pastors out there that are too afraid to step on people's toes. They're too afraid to lay the truth down the way it's supposed to be laid down. And they do their people absolutely no favors because all they want to do is keep them happy. All they want to do is pat them on the back and make them feel good about themselves. I don't want a pastor like that. I want somebody that's going to open up the book and he's going to rip my hide off if I need it because I know how badly I need it sometimes. And if you guys are honest with yourselves, you know how badly you need it. You know how you get into sin sometimes. You know how you get your lives a little bit turned around. And you need to be able to go someplace on Sunday morning where they're going to tell you the truth. And they're going to kick you right between the eyes if that's what you need. So that's number one. Number two, the work of the ministry. If you're not in a church that doesn't have some ministries that you can get involved in, that you can participate in the ministry of the Word of God to other people, where you can learn how to teach the Bible yourselves and how to preach the Bible, and you can have an impact and make an impact on other people, again, that's like going into a gym that they got no barbells. How are you going to work out if there's no weights in that place? How are you going to get physically fit if they don't have a treadmill, if they don't have an elliptical machine? They got to have those things. Ephesians 2:10, turn over there real quick. Ephesians 2, chapter 10 tells us exactly, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 tells us how we get saved, right? It says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And everybody can quote Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, but it's like we all stop reading after there. It's almost like the book of Ephesians stops right there. Nobody ever reads verse 10. Verse 10 tells us why God saves us. He says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Why? Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So you're saved for a reason. You're saved unto good works that you should walk in them. So again, if you are not in a place that gives you the ability to be involved in ministry, that's not the place that you want to be. You're not going to grow spiritually. You're not going to become CrossFit that way. And then the last thing is edifying. Are you being constantly built up? Not only by the pastor and the leadership of the church, but by the other people that are in the church. You know, that's one of the most important jobs that a church has is to edify. You're going to go through struggles in life. You're going to go through times where you get down. You're going to go through times where you get caught up in some things, in some sin at school maybe, and you get out of fellowship with the Lord. Do you have people there that are going to edify you? They're going to build you up. Are they constantly encouraging you? Or are you constantly being pulled away from the things of God, being pulled away from the Word of God? Now listen, I want to be very careful here. I'm not telling you that you should all go home and tell your mom and dad, oh, that guy that preached on in the morning said we should leave our church and I'm not going with you anymore. I'm not telling you to do that. But I'm telling you, you better at least put it to the test. You better take a look at it and you better think about it. I'm not going to tell you what you should do, and I'm not going to tell you what I'm getting ready to say is some sort of like a bragging thing, because it's not at all. But I'll tell you this, I did that. There's people in this room that have done that. My three of my closest friends in the entire world, my brothers, all did that with their own family. Told their dad, who was the pastor of their church, and said, "We're gonna go someplace else. We love you, but we're gonna learn the word of God and minister the word of God." That's not an easy thing to do. I was 14 years old when I got saved. I came home. I was going to a Presbyterian church with my mom. I came home and I told my mom, "I'm not going to church with you anymore." So I said, "Sorry, I'm going to this place because this is where I got saved. This place over here is teaching me the Bible, and that's what I want." You know, and she had no argument for it. Right? Because otherwise, I was just going to be an idiot and a knucklehead, and I was going to be out in the world. But she saw things changing in my life. How's she going to argue with that? But you got to take a look at those things. Because let me tell you, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ someday, it's not going to be enough to tell God, "Hey, I stayed there because my family's been going there for 60 years. My great-grandma, you know, started that church. She was the very first preacher that was ever there." God's going to look at you and say, "So what? You have a responsibility to yourself. If you're going to take this seriously, if you're going to become CrossFit, you've got to analyze where you are and you've got to decide, is this the gym that I'm going to get done what I need to get done? Do they have all the equipment that I need? Do they have people there that know how to use the equipment and can show me how to do it?" And that leads us to our third step here, okay? Our third step, after we get our nutrition straight and we get the right gym, and we signed up for our gym membership now. Now you got to get, what do you do next? You get a personal trainer. You go out and you get a personal trainer, because guess what? Not everybody knows what to do with the stuff when they get to the gym. You know, so it's like, where do I start? Well, I mean, what do I do? How does all this equipment work? Now, I know... at least on this half of the room. I'm just saying that because it's like mostly guys over here, and we watch stupid stuff like this. But some of you guys probably have too. How many of you guys have watched the YouTube videos like workout fails, you know? All right, yes, everybody knows. So you know how stupid people are sometimes when they go to the gym, you know? They do not have a clue how some of this stuff works. They also don't have a clue about their limitations, and they about kill themselves trying to lift weights that are too heavy for them. But we've all seen that, right? So sometimes you go to a gym and you're staring at a piece of equipment and you're like, that looks like it might be a really, really good workout right there, but I don't know what to do with it. Like, I don't know. Like, you're putting your feet in the thing where your hands go and you're like pulling something you're supposed to be pushing, and it, like, you can't figure it out. So you need a personal trainer. You need somebody that's familiar with the gym. You need somebody that's been there for a while. Somebody that's been working out. They know how to use all the equipment. And not only that, they can put a plan together for you and tell you how to do it, tell you what you should do, what order you should do it in. Spiritually speaking, it's the same thing, but we call it discipleship. You want to get together with somebody that knows a little something about the Bible. Somebody that's willing to walk through the gym with you. Somebody that's willing to walk you through, get you plugged into ministry, give you some things out of the Bible, help you begin to learn how to study the Bible for yourself, and grow you to the point, hand in hand as they walk with you, to where you get to the point that you can do it, start to do it on your own. That you can start to do it on your own. That's what discipleship does. There's something else that it does, is it provides accountability for you. You know, when you have that personal trainer, you got somebody that said, "Hey, I'll see you Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock. I'm going to be there." And you wake, you know, your alarm goes off at 7 o'clock in the morning, and you're like, "Man, I was up playing video games until like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm really tired, and I don't know if I want to go. If it's just you, you're just going to turn the alarm off. You're going to go back to sleep. But if you got that trainer, and you know there's somebody there sitting there at the gym, they're going to be there at 8 o'clock waiting for you, you're going to be more likely to go because you don't want to let them down. That's another thing that discipleship does for you. You get hooked up with somebody, they will help pull you along to do things when you don't really want to do it at that point in time. It's called accountability. Everybody needs that. I guarantee you, even those people that are discipling other people, they have people in their lives that provide accountability to them. We all have to have that. You need to surround yourself with people that are into spiritual things, other people that are CrossFit, that are into the Bible and love that thing. So when you have those moments where you're feeling weak, They pull you along and they encourage you, and you're like, I'm not going to quit because I'm not going to let that guy down. And then 6 months later, the roles might be reversed, and they might be the one that's struggling, and they decide they're not going to quit because of you. That's what discipleship does. That's what this personal trainer will do. They're going to encourage you through the tough times. They're going to encourage you through those difficult times when somebody at school is giving you a tough time about being a Christian. You're doing your best. You're trying to have a good testimony. You're trying to change your life for the Lord, and you're trying to walk every day for Him and walk with Him at your school, but you got this one guy or this one girl that just won't leave you alone about it. And it's tough, and it's hard. That personal trainer, that discipler, is going to encourage you through that. They're going to help you through that. They're going to help you see that this is just a small time in your life. This little time right now, this little bit of persecution you're going through, is okay. And actually, it's something that you should take pride in being able to experience, because the Bible tells us that we're to suffer with Christ. Well, how do we do that? We don't really get to get up on the cross and go through the physical anguish that He went through, but we can suffer the humiliation that He went through by living our lives the right way when people decide to make fun of us. But it helps to have somebody that's going to encourage you through those times. And let me tell you one other thing about it, just as a word of advice. When you're looking for somebody that's going to disciple you, if you were go back to the example of the physical workout, all right? You're going to find somebody that's going to be a personal trainer. You better find somebody that is in better shape than you to be your trainer, okay? Amen. I'm just going to say this right now, if anybody was thinking about asking, okay? If any of you would ask me to physically train you at the gym instead of Alex, you're dumb. I'm just going to tell you, like, that's dumb. That's not smart. You can look at him, and you can look at me, and it's pretty easy to tell. If I want to go get in shape, who do I want to ask to help me out, you know? I can give you directions to the gym, but that's about it, all right? Don't find the guy that just knows where the church is, because he's been there a couple of times. You know, he joined it a year and a half ago, maybe, and then hasn't been back since. Find the guy that you can tell that, like, lives in the gym. The guy that's working out all day long, the guy that, like, does crunches while he's sleeping, you know? That's the guy that you want to find out, that you want to get to train you. When it comes to discipleship, it's the same thing. Don't get hooked up with somebody that's less spiritual than you are. You want to get hooked up with somebody that's better than you are. You want to get hooked up with somebody that's going to set the bar at a level that not only can they help you, but it gives you something to strive for. Somebody that you can look up to and say, that's who I want to be like. I'm not like that today. That's not where I am, but that's who I want to be. That's who you hook yourself up with. That's how you make yourself better. That's how you do this, and that's how you become CrossFit. All right, now we're going to get to our last step here, and we're going to wrap this up. But everybody watches infomercials late at night, right? Or at least they have at some point. You guys have watched all the ones. Come on, right? Seriously? Like, I'm the only... Okay, thank you. So everybody watches these things late at night. There's nothing else on TV, and you're watching the infomercial for it's Bowflex, or it's the Nordic Track, or how about CrossFit? they got them too. Or Shake Weight. Remember those? The Shake Weight? Like, I got to be careful. So that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen, but whatever. But anyway, what do they always say at the end of those things? Oh, what's the disclaimer?
Wait.
No, not wait, there's more. It's not. All right. Thank you. Yes, they always say, be sure to consult your physician before starting any exercise program, because, you know, they don't want you to go and have your heart explode because you go do the, you know, CrossFit that's workout that some guy does that weighs 160 pounds and you weigh 240. They say go and consult your physician. You got to go and get checked out. They want your doctor to take a look at your heart and see if you can actually handle the physical activity, or at least tell you, here's where you should start. Like, we're going to encourage you to try walking at a slow pace for 5 minutes a day, and then we'll build you up from there. Like, that's what they would have to do with me. But spiritually, it's exactly the same. Before you are going to embark on this program, this CrossFit program, you've got to consult your physician. And guess who that is? The Lord Jesus Christ is called the Great Physician. And you've got to consult him from a couple of different standpoints. Number one, you may not be saved today. Bob mentioned this last night. You may be sitting here today and there's never been a moment in your life where you bowed your head and you trusted Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior. Where you went to Him and said, Lord, I understand that my sin separates me from You eternally. And there's nothing that I can do. There's no amount of good that I can do in my life that's ever going to take care of that. That can ever eliminate that sin from my life and that can get me to heaven. The only thing that can is Your shed blood. You've never had that time where you've prayed that to Him and asked Him to apply His blood to your life and save you. And if that's the case, 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So if you're sitting here today and you've never trusted Christ as your own personal Savior, I'm not saying this to hurt your feelings, but I'm just going to be honest with you. You can't do this. You're not going to be able to do this CrossFit program that we're laying out for you this week. You are physically not able to. You are spiritually not able to do this program. You need a heart transplant. That's exactly what happens when you bow your head and you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that when you get saved, you become a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So if you're in this boat, if you're in this group, God's going to be working on your heart this week. He probably already is. He probably started yesterday. He certainly started last night. And throughout this week, everything that you hear is going to be the Holy Spirit whispering in your ear. You haven't gotten saved yet. You don't know for sure. You don't know for sure if you're going to go to heaven when you die. You better get that taken care of. And I'm going to encourage you to not leave this week without getting that taken care of. Don't allow yourself to go back into the world, to go back to your home, and get back into your routine without taking care of that right now. Because I promise you, whatever happens here this week, it will disappear for you. Almost like that when you go back. Because you're not able to do this. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. You've got to have that so God can then take these things and put them into your life as you move forward. Now, if you're here today and you are saved, you still have to consult the great physician before you get into this program. You got to go to the Lord and you got to look at your heart too. Now, you're saved. You're able to do it. You're certainly equipped with everything you need to be able to become CrossFit. But you've got to be able to look and see, where am I with the Lord right now? Where is my heart? Is my heart in the right condition to be able to do this? Is my heart soft towards the Lord? Am I going to be able to take these things that I'm learning and really make some changes in my life to do it? It's not a hard thing to do. You get out of fellowship, you can get back in fellowship pretty quickly. You know, David, in Psalms 51, verse 10, when he had gotten out of fellowship, he said this. He prayed to the Lord. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's all it takes as a Christian today. If you've already been saved, but you've got sin that's crept into your life, you've gotten out of fellowship with the Lord, you've just got to go to God and you've got to bow your head and you've got to pray and you've got to ask Him to cleanse you from these things. And that's what you should be doing this week. You should be taking the preaching that you're going to hear this week in the mornings and at night, the devotions that you're going to hear, the times that you're going to spend if you guys have time where you guys are having quiet time. These are the things you need to be thinking about. You need to be analyzing, examining yourself to see, where am I with the Lord? Am I ready to start this program? Do I have my heart in the right spot to be able to do these things? Now, I'm just about finished. But this was just sort of the foundation, right? I said the title of today's message was preparation. We talked about these four very important things that we have to do to prepare to become CrossFit. Number one, the question I want you to ask yourself is, are you eating and drinking right? The Word of God. Are you getting enough of the Bible in yourself every day? Are you getting enough of the right kind of nutrition every single day that's going to sustain you, that's going to fuel you in your effort to become CrossFit? Number two, how about that gym? Analyze that thing. Look at where you're at. Look at the place where you're going to get fit. Do you have the tools that you need? Do they have the right equipment? Do they have the know-how? Do they know what's going on there? Number three, do you need to get a personal trainer? If you've not been discipled, or even if you have, but you need some extra help, find somebody. You know, I mentioned earlier about finding somebody that is in better shape than you if you were going to go work out. You know, spiritually, like I said, it's exactly the same. You know, if I was going to go start a workout program, I'm going to go find somebody that looks like LeBron James. That guy looks like he knows his way around the gym. Well, in this room, there are a plethora of spiritual LeBron Jameses in this room. There are a lot of people around here that know their way around that gym spiritually, okay? They know their way around that Bible. They've been through a lot of the pitfalls that you guys face every day and that you're going to face. Find somebody that you can hook up with that can help you, that can help you put these things in your life. And then lastly, you've got to consult that great physician. You've got to go to the Lord and you've got to really get honest with Him about where you are. Make sure your heart is where you need to be. So we're going to close. We're going to have a word of prayer. Tomorrow, we're going to get into the second aspect of it. Today, we talked about the preparation. And tomorrow, we're going to get into phase two of this, all right? So let's bow your heads and let's pray, and we're going to move on to our activity here shortly. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You and thank You, and we just praise You again for what a great time we've had this morning from the skits through the singing and the preaching, Lord. We pray that we'll take these things that we heard this morning, Lord. Help us to really meditate on them throughout the day and throughout the week as we continue to build on them throughout the rest of the week. And we'll be very careful to give You honor and glory for all of it, Lord. We thank You for the time that we've had in Your Word. We pray that as we head on out to the activities and everything we're doing throughout the rest of the day, that You watch over us, keep us all safe, and just give us a good day today, Lord. We love You, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.